Welcome to A Time of Hope, and thank you for joining us as we present highlights from our services last Sunday at the California United Church of Christ. We would also invite you to join us for church this morning at 101 North Oak, 10:30 in the morning. Our Sunday school precedes that at 9:30. We'd also invite you, if it works better for you, to come to 8:30 services at our sister church, Salem United Church of Christ, out on Highway K. Now listen to A Time of Hope.
O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your fruit and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall show forth your praise.
Special music is Colton Folks singing that wonderful old hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. He is accompanied by Beth Dampf. The morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Obeying God's Vision, the final chapter.
No one knows the day or hour. The angels in heaven don't know, and the Son himself doesn't know. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man appears, things will be just as they were when Noah lived. People were eating, drinking, and getting married right up to the day that the flood came and Noah went into the big boat. They didn't know anything was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man appears. Two men will be in the same field, but only one will be taken. The other will be left. Two women will be together grinding grain, but only one will be taken. The other will be left. So be on your guard. You don't know when your Lord will come. Homeowners never know when a thief is coming, and they are always on guard to keep one from breaking in. Always be ready. You don't know when the Son of Man will come. Our second reading comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. When our Lord Jesus returns, we will be gathered up to meet him. So I ask you, my friends, not to be easily upset or disturbed by people who claim that the Lord has already come. They may say that they have heard this directly from the Holy Spirit, or from someone else, or even that they read it in one of our letters. But don't be fooled. People will rebel against God. Then, before the Lord returns, the wicked one, who is doomed to be destroyed, will appear. He will brag and oppose everything that is holy or sacred. He will even sit in God's temple and claim to be God. Don't you remember that I told you this while I was still with you? You already know what is holding this wicked one back until it is time for him to come. His mysterious power is already at work, but someone is holding him back. And the wicked one won't appear until that someone is out of the way. Then he will appear, but the Lord will kill him simply by breathing on him. He will be completely destroyed by the Lord's glorious return. That concludes our reading.
We continue, or we finish up our look at Daniel. Last couple months we've looked at Daniel being Daniel chapter 12. Chapter 12 is kind of a continuation of chapter 11. Daniel continues to have these visions about the future, about battles that are going to take place, about armies that are going to march across the land. And like all of us, he had questions about that. And I would hazard a guess that at the end of his life, at the end of this, you'll see here that he felt a little unfulfilled. I mean, he had been one that had been chosen to receive these visions. He had done great things for God. He had been told that they could not find anything wrong with him. And he asked God one question at the end here. Okay, tell me when this is going to happen. How is this all going to end? And the angels don't give him a definitive answer. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. That kind of left him, I'm sure, a little unfulfilled. You know, my sports teams have left me unfulfilled. Don't have to say too much about the Dallas Cowboys, Doug. It's 30 years now, right? I'm unfulfilled. All right, it's time. All right. The Celtics last year won the series, you know, won the NBA championship, so I can't complain too much. They were supposed to be repeat champions this year, but didn't work out for that. My son-in-law, Jake, is real happy. He's a Thunder fan. But my Reds, again, are behind the Cardinals in the standings. I don't want to talk about it right now, okay? But unfulfilled about my sports teams. And so when we look at this chapter here, we might leave Daniel being unfulfilled. We're going to get dates on here. We're going to get some numbers. We're going to get some predictions. Some people have, you know, somebody left a book for me on my door. I've gone through it this week getting ready for this. One of these ones that kind of goes through of Daniel and tells you, you know, what to expect now, because it's called From Daniel to Doomsday. The countdown has begun. This was in 2000, I think, or 20. You know, 2000 don't sound that long ago, but it's been 25 years, all right? But the countdown has begun, according to John Hagee. And a lot of the same familiar names that people try to tie to these different things are there. But we're going to read Daniel chapter 12. And I hope at the end of it that we can walk away with confidence. We can walk away with contentment. We can walk away knowing some certain things and not spend all of our time getting worried about Doomsday. All right, so let's start in Daniel chapter 12, only 13 verses. It says, at that time, Michael, one of the three angels that have names, the great prince who protects your people will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. We see that as a common theme through all the scriptures that we read there. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, there's a book. It's mentioned Old Testament, New Testament, Revelation as well. Will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life. First time in Scripture that the word everlasting life or eternal life is used in Scripture. Right here in Daniel 12. Some, others, shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. He says, close the book. There's not going to be a sequel. You're not going to have another final reckoning coming up. It's sealed for the time when it happens. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on the bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? That's all of our questions. The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. Again, he gives him kind of a riddle, not the actual time. Now Daniel steps in. Verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand, so I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up. That phrase, that verse is mentioned three times in Daniel, and Jesus mentions it in Matthew chapter 24. We'll talk about that here in a second. Blessed, this is set up there. There will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. If you're counting, write that down. Keep that there. It's about 3.5-4 years. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. If there was any person that deserved to have an answer, I mean, I would say, God, I won't tell anybody. I won't write it down. I'll keep it to myself. But when will all these astonishing things happen? And God still does not give him an answer. One writer wrote this about Daniel. Daniel stands tall in the gallery of God's remarkable servants. Born of royal heritage, yet taken into captivity when only a teenager, Daniel determined to remain faithful to God in the land of his captivity. Even at great personal cost, Daniel spent his entire lifetime advising his captors with unusual wisdom. God chose him asked his servant to record some of the events of the captivity and some significant events concerning the future. As an old man, having been faithful to God throughout his years, Daniel was assured by God that he would rise from the dead and receive his portion in God's eternal kingdom. Faithfulness to God has a rich reward, not necessarily in this life, but most certainly in the life to come. And so when we look at the book of Daniel, I think there's some things that will help us with our walk with the Lord. But when we look at the chapter 7 through 12, you'll see lots of visions. If you've been reading along, you'll see Daniel had visions about four beasts and a great ram, a goat and a ram, about small horns and big horns, about four kings and an army from the north and an army from the south. People have surmised that these armies represented Persia and Greece, Alexander the Great when he conquered the world, Babylon, and well as Rome when they conquered the whole world. Some people said the army from the north is Syria, the one from the south is Egypt, and of course, people have brought Russia into the discussion over time. We have that abomination that causes desolation. People have assigned that to a man named Antioch Epiphanes that conquered Jerusalem and offered a sacrifice to the Roman god of a pig on the altar of God's temple. But when we see Jesus referred to it in Matthew chapter 24, he refers to something that's going to happen in the future. So maybe it's when Rome destroys Jerusalem in AD 70 and they wipe out the temple. But we see that phrase mentioned there, the abomination to desolation. The temple is destroyed. No more sacrifices for sin. I wondered about that. And, you know, we've all grown up mostly knowing the nation of Israel, but Israel didn't come into existence as a nation until 1948. Until then, it had been ruled by different countries. The British ruled it, and then it became a country in 1948. But the temple has never been rebuilt because I think it lies on the side of Jerusalem that is under the control of the Muslims. And so no temple sacrifices have taken place. So that made me wonder, how do they take care of their sins in the Jewish faith now? It talks about that they can do sacrifices of things that they have, you know, or do away with things that they are liking to do, or they do things of good deeds. That's one way they do these sacrifices these days, but there's no more sacrifices in the temple. You come across numbers that we just read, 1,290, 1,335. The end of chapter 9, you see 70 times 7, the 77s. Some people have said that that's 490 years from the time of Daniel till the time that Jesus appears. You have to do some creative math to make that happen. In one of the chapters, you see 2,300 evenings and mornings. People have stretched those in the years to fit in certain things. And we could go over all of that stuff. Some people have said that the different epochs of time represent those four beasts represent the Catholic Church at various times in their history, or Christianity at different times in their history. They've also tried to include Islam, as Islam has become more popular and powerful over the past decades. And of course, people bring in the nation of Russia again into that discussion. But boy, we could go over all kinds of things about these things and try to explain them. One guy put it this way. He says, the seven things that you need to know about the end times. Number one, there will be one world ruler. Don't you think at the time of World War II, people really thought that Hitler or Stalin was really, you know, running up the charts there to get to be that? Didn't they think maybe that the end of times was coming? Kind of a false alarm there. There'd be one world religion, a world war. Boy, definitely World War II, you would have thought that would have been, because it was a world war. There'd be a time of great tribulation for Israel. They've had all times of different times of tribulation, especially during the Holocaust during World War II. Deliverance for the people of God at the end of the tribulation. Number six is a resurrection and judgment. And number seven, a reward of the righteous. So we read all these different things in Daniel, and we can get confused, or we can look and try to explain them all. But what I look at is the things in Scripture that go along with each other. When you look at the message of chapter 12 of Daniel, and you look at the message of Jesus in chapter 24, you see Paul's message in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Peter's message in 2 Peter chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, they all have these common themes. Number one, there's lots of info in our Bible about the end of times. We should not be uninformed. We can look them up. We can read them. That's why I love the Bible, that it complements one another. It gives us a warning. It gives us a heads up of what is to come. We also see from Daniel and from Matthew and from all these others, we will not know the day or time that is about to take place. Yes, we are forewarned. Yes, there are things that we are to look for. But Paul says this, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, just like Daniel, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will what? Come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as a labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So we know there that there's lots of scripture. We do not know the day or the hour. We also know from Daniel chapter 12 and throughout scripture, there is definitely a heaven and a hell. Daniel says it in chapter 12. He uses for the first time everlasting life, and he calls those people wise. But he tells the ones that are wicked, the ones that continue to disobey God and not follow his teachings, that they will go to everlasting contempt. We need to draw that to heart. There's definitely a heaven and a hell. No matter how much we love our family or friends, if they do not know Jesus, they will not go to everlasting life. Jesus said, I came into the world to die for all the world, not for certain people or certain faiths, for all the people. Daniel's pointed his whole message toward the coming of the Messiah and the things that will happen to do that. If you do not know Jesus, you will spend eternity away from him and his Father. We see there also that it will be a very difficult time. A time, as Daniel says, a time like no other. A time of distress that's not happened from the beginning of nations until now. I find that hard to believe. Man, we've had some bad times, haven't we? Man, bad times going on in countries all around our world right now. Ukraine, Africa, there was a bunch of Christians killed in Africa, over 200 of them, going to church. Group broke in and killed them all. We see in China, we see in Thailand, we see all these places in North Korea. But he says it's going to be a time like no other, a very difficult time. Some people call it the tribulation. Jesus tells us that he's going to give us a warning sign to this. He tells us that we learn from the fig tree. As soon as it gets leaves, its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. He says, even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. So he tells us to keep watch, because we do not know the day or the hour. But then through all of this, as he does in Revelation, as he does in Matthew, he does the same thing in the book of Daniel. He gives us glimpses of heaven. If you've got your Bible, skip back to chapter 7, the first vision that he has in this section. In verses 9 and 10, he talks about God himself. He says, as I looked, remember this is Daniel's vision. He says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was like white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire. Its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. We see then in verse 26 and 27, but the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed for talking about the man of lawlessness. Then the sovereignty, power, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom and all rulers will worship and obey him. But it's just like here on earth, through all our hard times, through all the difficult things, all the losses we go through, God continues to give us glimpses of heaven. It might be in the birth of a newborn baby or a grandchild. It might be the sunset or the sunrise of a day, or a place of beauty that we go to on vacation. Or maybe it's just the words of a friend or a loved one going through a very difficult time. God will continue to give us glimpses of heaven until that day. But then he gives Daniel that simple message, go your way till the end. How do we interpret that for ourselves? I interpret this this way. Be faithful, be serving, be loving, be praying, and most of all, be prepared. Be prepared. I'm getting ready to turn 60 next year. Dave Ramsey says that when you turn 60, you need to get long-term care insurance. I've got it on my schedule, but I'm pretty tight with my money, but I'll have to find a good deal. But he says, you'd be a fool after 60 not to get long-term care insurance. Daniel's telling the same thing to us. Be prepared. Be faithful. Be serving. Be loving. Be praying. And you will be rewarded. He also then ends with this, that God is in control. He wins, so we win. As Mary read, there'll be this big battle. All these armies will puff up to see that they show how powerful they are and that they will take over the world. And Jesus, with just the breath of his mouth, crushes him. Because he wins, we win. And then the final thing that we take from this is that there will be a final judgment. There will be a time that we have to answer for the life that we've lived, for the blessings that God has given us, how we will return those blessings. Jesus says it this way, Matthew chapter 25. He says, the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. A shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. John is a little bit more vivid in John chapter 20. He says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Boy, does that sound like Daniel chapter 7? The earth and the heavens fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. That theme of books again. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Each person. Not by what your mom and dad did, not by what your spouse did, by what you did. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Daniel makes it very clear. Jesus follows up with it. John completes it. But he gives us encouragement through that chapter 12. He tells us that you will rise to inherit, that you will shine like stars, that you will rest and you will be delivered. But he gives us that phrase that we must go our way till the end. Jesus talked about a way, a narrow way and a wide way. Which one are you on this morning? Are you on the wide path, just, you know, pushing right ahead? That's foolishness, just like in the days of Noah. That's crazy. He built that ark 100 years ago. No rain. I'm going to do what I want to do. Are you going to do what Daniel did for 80 years in a foreign country, in captivity, away from his homeland, faithfully follow God and take the narrow way? Peter says this at the end of telling everybody about the end days. He says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, the second coming, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. God wants us all to be saved, but we must come to him. If you are not sure about your eternity, let's make it sure today. Let's confess Jesus. Let's repent of our sins. Let's believe in him. Let's be baptized and follow the example of Jesus. Let's have our sins washed away. And then follow we faithfully him in that narrow way so that one day we can hear the same message that Daniel has heard. Well done, good and faithful servant.